What's up with it? This your boy Emo, and you're tuned in to Wise Words with One Gone. Make sure you tune in every Monday through Saturday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And don't forget to check out the Sunday Gospel Show from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Stay tuned and support the real Sacramento, California. Yeah.
It's time for new
commercials. What's up with it? This your boy Emo.
Time for new commercials, man. I tried to get all of the music out so I can reload, and we had another technical difficulty. I don't know what it is. I think this show is too much for internet. I really do, man, because we're going through a whole bunch of ups and downs trying to get this thing, you know, to a place where, you know, it is considered a top-notch show, right? Because it is. And I think the powers to be, you know, whenever you're doing something good, they always throw something at you. It's just, how do you receive that and accept that and move forward? Anyway, without further ado, I got a lot to do today, so I'm going to make sure that I do the phone line and mute myself today. If you are in an area where there's lots of noise and you talking to people and they talking to you, mute yourself. Without further ado, here's Mr. Marvell for you. Marvell?
Yes, sir. Good morning to you and good morning to our listening audience. I'm glad you made a correction. We're Monday through Friday at that timetable, 9 to 11, and then I'm going to have, I think my mom's going to call in from a 216. That's about 3 hours difference. That's in Ohio. So either way, we're attempting to be that professional as we can and as crisp as we can. So once again, I would like to urge that if you have background noise, please mute yourself immediately, so that we can have a quality presentation. So, Tim, you had a subject matter that you wanted to discuss. Okay, so I'll introduce the subject matter.
Here we go. When I say I'm gonna be off, I'm gonna be off. You ain't got to check your internet. I know you're checking. I know you're checking, but hey, don't check me. Check yourself. This morning, we're talking about recap of the week. On Friday, I normally just do an hour, but these shows are so powerful. We don't do a segment of an hour of talking and an hour of music. We don't need the music. What we really need is the conversation. So today, it's Friday, is a recap of our week. And what that means is it was so powerful about the fentanyl, the young man and his situation, just all around good conversation. And so a lot of people was on Facebook saying, hey, man, I missed that show and left a comment in there. I wish I'd have been on there. And so here's a chance for them. I specifically text them and hit them to let them know we're on today so that they can be a part of the discussion. We have a couple of callers that's calling in. We'd like them to introduce themselves. And so, Mark, I see you're on here.
Yes, sir, Grand Rising, kings and queens. This is a beautiful day, and I'm happy once again to be on the air.
And my wife told me you was very gentlemanlike last night and that you have a beautiful family. So I appreciate you being a man of integrity and a man that is a family man. So, again, my wife gave you a shout-out last night when she came home. We have another caller on from the 916-908. I'm not going to call the rest of the numbers, but would you like to introduce yourself?
Jimmy Griffin.
Oh, that's my uncle.
What's right. going on, huh? How you doing, nephew?
All right. So, hold on, because I know you got a lot of wisdom, too. And I'm going to let the host go ahead on and run the show. If you think you're going to be in an area, Unc, where there's some background disturbance, mute your phone, but you'll still be on. And then when you feel like talking, unmute yourself, hit one, and we'll put you in the on live, all right?
No problem.
All right. So without further ado, I got Mr. Marvell for you. Marvell.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Mr. Griffin?
Just
and how are you,
yourself.
Mark, this morning? I'm good.
Oh.
And Mark, how are you today? Mark, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing well.
Right now, so we had a subject that was mentioned yesterday. However, because we had a lot of call-ins asking about what we had discussed and people have had regrets that they didn't get a chance to hear it, we'll recount a lot of the discussion that we had and brief people on what our conclusions were. Now, I'll just give you a briefing on the last two sessions we had. What we arrived at is that we're going to start forming committees and start forming workshops to address some of the issues that came up during our conversation. And a lot of those issues, for instance, we talked about, yesterday we talked about fentanyl, but we didn't just limit it to fentanyl. We talked about drug usage that is pervading our community with that kind of casually, and how easy it is for it to be accepted, drug using behavior to be accepted, and how easy it is for someone to continue to use a drug that is fatal. And that we recognize that it has a lot to do with how they think about themselves, how they feel about themselves. And that became a concern for us that we decided we're going to pool a committee of men to start addressing those type issues. So a lot of things we discussed revolved around, like the other day we talked about, yesterday we talked about Black Lives Matter, and how do they matter and who do they matter to? And that was a rather exciting discussion, because what we discovered during that the exchange is that we demonstrate less of a care or concern for each other that might be giving permission for others to do the same or continue to do the same and do it, you know, without any conscience about it, because of the way they perceive us treating each other. So that was something that we discussed, and we're forming committees with that. So Mr. Griffin, with you being new into the discussion, I'm going to ask you now to consider if you're willing to participate in some of our ongoing committees so that we can structure some curriculum to take to our community to talk about these things. For instance, one more, and I'll open up the floor. One more issue that we had talked about a couple weeks ago, and we had our brother Joe, that comes in, and he's been working in law enforcement, and he recommends that we start a sort of like a briefing to our young people on how to respond to police when they pull up on them, knowing with knowledge of some of the laws, but don't get cocky about it. Just let them know that you know the law and how to protect themselves from being like either mistreated or misinterpreted if the police stop them. And so we're going looking at that kind of issue as well. So, Mark, you might want to throw in, because a lot of issues we talked to, you might want to throw in and brief people who are not like Mr. Griffin or what some of the other issues we talked about, but these are the ones that we focused on within the last several days.
Yes, so we covered a great number of issues, and most of the issues that we covered all relate and comes back to the one true meaning is love. We need to regroup and rethink a lot of things and learn to love one another. And in doing so, we'll be helping one another to be aware of themselves. Then that'll help them to be accountable, reliable, and dependable.
So, Mr. Griffin, I don't know if you have any questions. I don't know if you've tuned in to anything prior to this, and if this is you know, your first time within the last couple of weeks. If you have something you want to offer, I think it'll tie in to what we've already discussed, and let's proceed from there. So, do you have something that you want to put on the table for us to address?
Yes. And this is my first time coming on the program. I was just looking at my Facebook and I saw it and I said, let me call my nephew and find out what's going on here, because I do appreciate everything he's trying to do for the community. But now when it comes down to us as people, we have to stop and turn around and look at us. You know, like, most of the problems that we have are perpetuated by us, because, you know, like, we have a lot of things going on. Everybody knows we've got somebody in everybody's family that's not right. We pat that person on the back and damn others. You have to go after the wrong wholeheartedly. By all. And if somebody's wrong, they're just wrong, and they've got to be told that they're wrong. Do you get where I'm coming from?
Mm. So you know what I'm hearing you talk about is what seems to happen in schools, where if the child is wayward in school, and they the administration puts some kind of pressure on them, the parents run up to the school, want to cuss out the teachers and the administration for taking the word for the child and defending the child over the teaching body. That kind of scenario. And then there's others where no matter what, I got to do this, man, you know, it's my family. I got to do this no matter what. I got to, you know, if you're wrong, I'm going to tell you something. My mother, and hopefully she's on the line now, the Honorable Mrs. Clotilde Tyers. My mother is one of those people who represent the right no matter what. I remember I used to be in a juvenile place. I got locked up when I was a juvenile. I went AWOL, and I went home, and she said, "My baby, you got to go back." I said, "Mama, I don't want to go back there. They don't treat me right." Just my veil, you have to go back. You have to go back, son. And I went back. Matter of fact, I went again, and she called the social worker to come and get me. Say, look, you know, he got to go back, because what's right is right, and that's where she stood. And I see that example not being demonstrated here. If that's on the. That might be on the same street. Might not be in the right house with you, but I think we're on the same street. You agree?
We definitely are. We most definitely are. Because, you know, like, I think that's where our problem are. Because we like this person, we let them pass with this nonsense. And other people you see doing it, then, you know, like, they're damned for the rest of their lives because they're not part of your makeup. So, you know, like, we as a people have to stand back and say what's wrong is wrong and what's right is right. And I don't care who it is. You got to face that and tell people to their faces that when they're wrong, and don't sugarcoat it. How is it? That's the only way it's going to stop. And you're like, we have to start at home teaching the right things.
Yeah, we have to penetrate or infiltrate the homes that are not practicing them with for them to practice and start changing their methods at home, right? Because when you say start at home right now, I kind of wince when I think about what's starting at home right now, because there's a lot of premature seeds who will bore more premature seeds, so there's a lot of immaturity in the households as we're looking at from the millennium or coming on through, right? So there's a grooming that might be important for us to transpose into those family structures in order for them to rethink how they're grooming and teaching their children now. So it's going to be probably on us. That's why I talk about the committees. That's why I talk about when you call in, if you're a veteran and you're seasoned, when you call in, be prepared to pour in whatever you can afford at the time so that we can start structuring these methods to get the information to the household and attract and the guardians that are in the household to our tutorage about certain principles. Because when you talked about what you're talking about, you know the first thing I thought about is something called principle over personality. Principle over personality. But what we're practicing now is personality over principle.
Right.
Go ahead. Go ahead, sir.
No, I just say I agree with you 100% on that, and that's where I'm coming from, and I remember as a kid myself, it all starts at home, and that's what's happening with our kids are being lost at home to start with, and then when they get out in the streets, hey, anything goes, because they don't have the right structure to start with. So, you got to get in the house and straighten that out first. We got to straighten us out as a people before we can start throwing stones at everybody else.
Sounds good. I agree with you, Unc. And so we have another caller, 916-525. I'm not going to call the rest of your number out, but we'd like for you to introduce yourself.
Hey, what's up with this? Ren.
Okay, all right, brother. Okay, you in. I'm just trying to make sure everybody's acknowledged on the show and going right back while I'm watching the screen. Okay, Brother Marvell.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Okay, so, hey, Ren, how you doing today?
Oh, man, I'm chilling with a feeling. How about you, bro?
Oh, man, every time I get it, I don't care how I feel. I wake up because I turned 70 on the 13th of November, right? And people say look like it, but when I get up in the morning, I sound like it. Oh.
Right.
But when I get up and get moving around and anticipate doing what we're doing right now, those things fall to the side because this is where we're legacy building. Mature members of our society, we're at the legacy building stage of our lives. So what we would do well to do is pool our resources, get our energies together, start forming something solid so that we can introduce to our communities to help pave the way for the direction that we would like to see our community go.
So, definitely.
I'm good, man. Always
That's
good.
Beautiful.
It's always a pleasure when you guys come on. So what have you heard so far? Did you just come on or have you heard anything?
I've probably been on for probably about maybe 3-4 minutes. So.
Okay. All right, because what Tim asked us to do was we did have another subject. It was another interesting subject, but because we got so many calls in talking about the issues that we were addressing this week, that people were regretted that they missed, we're doing sort of like a recap of what we've just been discussing, right? So I think right now, here's one thing I want to share with you guys, and I said it yesterday, but if you weren't here, I think it's important to hear, is that I had started a project when I was in Ohio. And I was involved with the community, involved with the youth, and working with agencies and all that. And I decided to put together a format, and I called it the Men Accountable Project. And so when we were talking yesterday and the day before, what we decided to do was not just talk about the issues and not suggest the solution, but start putting together committees and having classes and workshops and even seminars addressing these issues with men who have the willingness and have the knowledge and discernment to be able to contribute to that. So if you're interested in that, we would like to get your contact information, and I'll do the rest. I'll draw up everything, and I'll send you the format, and you can look at it and see if it's something you want to be a part of. And once done, we'll start meeting by Zoom. I think Tim said he was going to set up Zoom meetings. We can have a Zoom meeting and start structuring workshops and classes that deal with the issues that we've been talking about, and that we think that we might have some inkling of a solution for. We're
right.
Still open for people to pour in, but we want to get it started and get something visible,
right,
so that we can structure this thing and strengthen it, so that our people have an opportunity to look at things a little differently. But that's what we want. We don't want them to see everything our way, but we want them to look at what the circumstances exist with our people. We want them to look at it a little differently, and then hopefully they'll be creative enough to pour in to find the real way for us all to move toward a solution. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm with that. I'm totally with that.
Well then, we'll for the contact information will be necessary. We don't want to do it on air, but whomever is willing, we would like for you to share that information. And I'm on the verge of right now. I'm gonna spend my whole day writing, giving an overview of what it is that we're doing with the Men Accountable Project. And
okay.
We have a host of workshops. We already have a host of workshops that we're going to put in motion. So we're on our way. We just want to get the willing to accompany us.
Okay. I like that. I even like what you call it, because I think self-reflecting and accountability is something that's not being done a lot. So, you know, and I think that's why things are able to fall to the wayside, because, you know, there is no accountability. But in order to run a good functioning operation, you have to have accountability. Even the United States as a whole have accountability. You know what I mean? Like, you're not being held accountable you're always being held accountable for stuff. You're a traitor. They send you to jail. You do anything. You know, everybody's held accountable, though. So, yeah, a good, successful project has to have accountability. So I like the name itself. So I'm with it.
And so, without further ado, I have Brother Joe to introduce to the world. Brother Joe, go ahead and introduce yourself. And we're talking about recaps of the week. We're talking about subjects that we spoke on all week. And we're recapping because a lot of people said they wish they could have been on that broadcast, and they couldn't make it on that broadcast. So we opened up this show to recap what was spoken all week long. Brother Joe.
Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? I just heard the last bit of accountability. And accountability, its foundation is honesty. And without honesty, accountability goes right out the window. If the individuals that are involved in a circumstance or a problem or what have you, if they are not honest individuals from the gate, then accountability goes out the window. When the gentleman that was speaking earlier used the word nation. There's no accountability in this nation. We have been held, black men have been held accountable since we've been in this country, but there is no, quote, accountability when we go looking for accountability. I'd like to, go a little bit further, but I'll stop at this point. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Right on, Joe. Hey, yeah, see, you know, when I heard the brother say that, I was thinking that there's an illusion of accountability that's very persuasive. It looks like we have an accountability system. However, when you look closer, you'll find that it is a we talked about this earlier, and I grew up. When I say grew up, when I got clean from drug usage, I was involved with a fellowship that had a lot of very sound principles to practice. And one of the sayings that they used to have was, you practice principle over personality, meaning you don't have to like me to like what I'm saying. You don't have to like me to reason that what I'm saying or doing is the proper and sound direction to take. You don't have to like me. I don't have to be charismatic or anything. I just have to have good, solid information in order for you to take it and use it for your benefit. But now it's the other way around. It's if the personality is what people follow, and they ignore the principle, because we're looking at it with this that orange dude that has broke all these laws, and he's still talking crazy, cussing people out and denouncing people, and he's not being held accountable, right? And if he is, it's such a slow process that it just seems like it's not going to happen. So I understand what you're saying, Joe, and I understand what the brother was saying about the illusion of accountability for this country is here, but you, Joe, you're hit it. We're the ones who are monitored for accountability more than anybody else.
I just wanted to add some clarity, right? So when I was speaking on accountability, I was only speaking of the structure itself of exactly what America presents itself to be, or any nation, any functioning nation, should have when it comes to accountability. I wasn't saying necessarily my perspective or my position and my plight as a black man. Now, that when it came to my personal opinion, yeah, I definitely know that, you know, all the colonialism, the atrocities that we have experienced as a whole. Yes, I'm a Pan-Africanist myself. I'm with that movement all the way around. However, I've positioned myself to try to coexist with other nations if they allow me to coexist, and if they can coexist within my personal belief system. So if they can coexist and be around me, then I can coexist and be around them. Now, I will hold them accountable if they violate me or violate anybody that looks like me, But it's that. I mean, that's my position, but I was trying not to get too political.
Right on.
If I may, Brother Marvell, can I chime in?
Yes, sir.
As I've said in the prior broadcasts, it's the abilities that we're lacking. We're lacking not just accountability, availability, dependability, reliability. We have to become men of standards. So we have to set the standard. And I want to welcome all the new listeners in, because it's good to have other men joining in, because we all have something to bring to the table. And I want to invite all those of you who are in the Sacramento area to come out to the Healing Circle on Wednesday night. It will be a great benefit to us as well as to yourself. So I invite you to come out and join in with us, because out of that Healing Circle, a great
deal of other factors have come for, has been birthed out of there. So anyway, but like I say, we have to become men of standards. We have to set standards for other men, because every man wants to see good. He just have a problem doing good. So if we lead out and we set that example, others are sure to follow. We just got to make sure we stay focused and just be available and be ready at any given time to voice our opinion and stand on it.
Right. So the belief. See, that what you just said about setting a standard and having the law of attraction follow that standard. I'm hoping that we can talk in, you know, and generate confidence and the belief that that's going to happen. Because I trust it is going to happen, because that's how principle works, right? However, I understand somebody who might be a little hesitant, a little standoffish about it, and we're our job, I think, right now is to get those who are on the fence to come on in and recognize that once we do set that standard, that that standard is going to be emulated, because they're waiting for us. They're waiting for us.
Right.
We have really
right.
been errant. We have really
right.
been errant. So now we have to be really powerful and strong, a visual aid, an audio aid, a spiritual aid that they can see, feel, and trust. That's why I keep on going back to these committees. I'm headlong about these committees, because once we get together and start putting, because it happened yesterday. This is what happened yesterday. Something was put to the floor, and then people poured into it. And when we got through with it, it was a finished product. Now we're writing and we're structuring, because people poured into it. Then didn't accept the way it was initially. They used their creativity and they used their experience. They used their wisdom to pour into it. And now we have a finished product. And that's what I like for our viewer, I mean our listening audience, to understand, is that what we're moving toward. We're not just moving toward just talking about something or thinking about something or defining what it is. We're looking at pouring into it so that we can have a structure to bring correction to the things that are errant in our community. That makes sense?
Yes, amen. It does, because we, like I said, we're all individuals, and we all have a gift to give. And once we put all these ingredients together, are we going to come up with a big meal that everybody going to want to eat off of? See, men are waiting for other men to lead out, but they're not used to seeing a group of men coming together. That's what our people need to see, a group of men coming together, standing on principles. And we could do it. We're doing it. As you have seen men come in the healing circle, they're not apt to speak right away, but once they get to hearing other brothers speak, oh, they got to speak because they feel welcome. They say, oh, well, I'm not the only one going through this. Other men have went through this. So let me give my part. And that'll help enlighten. That it enlightens us. So that's why I invite every man to come in. And especially on this airways, we're reaching multitude. Many don't speak, but in give them time, they will.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We set the laws in motion. I think that's our responsibility, to set the laws of righteousness in motion. And that's what we're doing. And I feel good about the participants in this process right now, because I personally, I have gone through a challenge where I thought I could do it by myself. But the Spirit of God worked through others to penetrate that, the barrier that was existing with me, to the point to where I felt oneness with everybody who was moving toward the goal. I felt oneness. And another thing is, when I didn't like somebody, but I practiced principle personality and looked at what they were offering rather than looking at them, what happened was, by the end of the process, I was liking them because I saw something different in them. It was me that was being, you know, sort of like premature about who they were or how they were, and I got an opportunity to see more of them and find out that there was the likenesses made us attractive to each other, and we were compelled to be together when the job got done, which was recovery
Brother
for me.
Brother Marvell, you know what that what it's like? You know, you take like a car. You put that positive and that negative post together and get nothing. But when you put that battery in there and connect it, it's a well-running machine, running smoothly. And that's what we do. It takes negative and positive to get things going. You take like me and you, the walks of life. Although we've been through some similar things, but we had different approaches at it, and we had a different outcome of it. But when we get together, it brings others in, and we get stronger. See, we're strong together. Apart, we're strong in our own lane, but together we're strong across the board. You know, that spark just generates. So we're doing something good here. We're bringing more people in, more men in, and I really want to bring these women in because we're nothing without them. We got to do this together as a unit because we've been separated. The women been separated from the men. The women been taught that they're strong, and there's no way a woman could be stronger than a man. It's just not possible. God didn't create it that way. We got to come together in unity and lock arms together. Man, we can move mountains. We can do this. We gonna do this. It will be done. Matter of fact, it's already done. We just ain't manifested it yet.
Right on.
So when you speak about women attracting women into our format, I would like to share with you guys that I'm hoping that my mother, the Honorable Mrs. Clotilla Tyers, is possibly on the line. She has a landline. She has a cell phone, but she doesn't trust cell phones. She don't really care for them. So she might be on her landline in the listening audience, and if she is, she fits with what member of y'all just hear the saying, I like my women black and strong. Well, that is Mrs. Clotilla Tyers. That's the black and strong woman who groomed all of us with the principles to come back to, not the ones we went wayward from, the direction we took, but what we came back to, we got from her. So that's why when you talk about from the home, if it starts in the home, it's a likelihood that through trial and error, the child might come back. But if it's not there in the home, we have to make sure that they have an opportunity to have that grooming in the home. So we have to infiltrate the home and attract those parents to us so that they can see that there is a different perspective about parenting that's going to help their children be more firm in their ability to take care of themselves. Because I see a lot of kids right now, they're not. I don't see how they're gonna take care of themselves. I like to, but I don't see it. The responsibility is back to us. It's back to us, the seasoned. We're really the guardians. We're really the elders with knowledge and experience and wisdom that we have to demonstrate to them that what we have is worthwhile to them. We have to do that. Well, I'm going to say have to. I would say I would recommend that we do that because I don't know what we have to do. I don't know what nobody should do and ought to do, but it sounds reasonable to me.
Right. Brother Marvell, what we have to do is just like when you're going down a road and you see a sign that says detour. A lot of people don't care about that sign because if there's no roadblock there, they're going to take that detour. They're going to take that road anyway. We have to be that roadblock. We have to stand there and detour these kids from going that direction. We have to let them know the consequences of going that direction. See, a lot of them have heard about the consequences, but they never faced it. And then, too, you got to understand, a lot of these kids are more apt to go to prison because that's where all their homies are at. They don't care about the consequences, just so long as they can be the family. Like I was telling one of the guys in the home today, I said, it's just like a dog have 9 puppies. And all these puppies have went to different homes. But that dog catcher come along, and he picks up each one of them puppies every day. Till he's got all them puppies, and they're in this dog pound. All the puppies are happy because they all together. But they're locked in. They're trapped. We got to be the one to defuse all this mess. We got to put a stop to it. And that's why we got to be visible. We got to be accountable. We got to be reliable. We got to be dependable. If we want our race to supersede over this mess, we got to be out there, and I'm here for it.
The brethren, y'all hear that? Y'all hear that?
Yeah.
I hope we can embody that.
No, I agree 100%. And like the brother said, is this, we need both. We need the woman and the man to have the strength to pull our families back together. Cut all this separation at home out. You got to get us together as man and woman so we can raise our children the right way and
yes,
do the right thing about them. And until we do it, it's not going to happen.
I say. I say.
You know, this woman is set up to where there's a division there. And that's where it's at. The woman is the matriarch of the family. The man is the go-getter. He goes out there and makes the living. So now let's get back to doing what's right and cut all this other nonsense out and let our children have a good life to where they can grow up feeling good about themselves, because we got a lot of kids out there that don't have no respect for their own self, so they're not going to have any respect for anybody else.
Mm.
You just got to do it the right way, period. Because any other way, it's not going to come out right. And you can't pat wrong on the back because you like that person and slaughter other people for doing things. And the brother said, when you said that orange fella running around out here, I don't understand a whole bunch of us that follow that orange fella and his tribe, because there's nothing there but confusion, hate, and distrust, and lies. We got to get it together to where we represent ourselves the right way, completely.
Agreed. And then, again, that's the overview, and that's the ultimate goal. Now the details become important.
Right.
So now we're still creating those models and methods to approach this matter. That's why this kind of exchange is so important. Because we can define the what, and then the next responsibility is to define. Gentlemen, y'all got the sad part. Mute yourself, please.
Mute your phones when you're not on there.
Right on. Yeah, because I introduced this to select people right now because I know, well, I'm not going to say I know, but I feel strongly that if that presentation is not crisp, that we might lose the potential future audience because, they got too much of this, they got too much of that. You know how difficult we are to please sometimes. So I don't introduce this to a lot of people until we get to the point where we're exercising all the things that'll make this broadcast crisp and professional, right?
Yeah.
And then When we unleash what we have to share, it'll be unadulterated and uninterrupted by anything that might give somebody. Because, see, I'm going to tell you something else. What I've learned about information is, especially with our people, is that the more and the better the information is, depending upon the topic matter, a person, when they see that you have good information and you deliver it well, then they have a decision to make. And the decision is make is, what do they do with the information? And a lot of people don't want a lot of information because they don't want to do nothing with it. They don't want that responsibility that the information has put them, thrust them into, have to work with. So that's another factor that we got to market ourselves and our message to our people in a way that you can't refute it. You can't say, well, too much of that, too much of that. It's just too good information for them to not at least consider. And that's what our job is on this broadcast, is to get it down to that point, to where people, when they listen, there's nothing interrupting the message. That makes sense?
Yes, sir. Yes, it makes sense. So what we're asking is that if you're not speaking at that time, mute your phone, because we could hear everything that's going on in the background. I heard a lady speaking to a gentleman or something. So we ask that you mute your phones when you're not speaking. Then you, when you get ready to say something, unmute, press 1, and that'll raise your hand. And so that'll notify the man that's running the board to call on you.
Ah, yeah, that's good, Mark. I meant to mention that. That one, because that press 1 to raise your hand, that part we didn't describe at the beginning. If you want to speak, you can be recognized by pressing 1 on your phone. So, you know, where we started was there was an incident where youth were sort of duped into participating in a raffle last week, right? And we got on the air and we sort of like troubleshot as much as we could before we got on the air and then during and then after, to find out what recourses there were for the young people to either get their money back or get some clarity from the person that we suspected was practicing the wrongdoing. And out of that came our accountability question. Who holds who accountable? And so we started talking about structuring Mark called it a task force, or structuring a body of men who would be responsible to meet out those who are trying to work our community and go to them and appeal to them to just stop it. Like, dude, we're watching you, and we're not for it. We're gonna stay with the premise of you not doing it until you stop doing it. And then from there, we start looking at the options of creating these committees. So this is how the growth and the graduation from a thought process to a do process is swarming here. And I just want our listening audience to understand that this is what we're pushing toward. Not just talking about it, but finding the way to make something happen to deal with it. And that's what's going on right now. And I appreciate you brothers pouring in like you are, because this is the beauty of what we're trying to do and how we're going to do it. What say you,
thank you,
Joe?
Mr. Marville. Well, thank you, Mr. Marville. Your mom hasn't called in. Wanted to let you know we have Brother Finest Mac that came in, so we want him to introduce himself and what he does and join the conversation. Brother Matt.
Brothers, how you doing? I'm in the field working, so I'm going to have a little bit of background noise, but I'm going to try my best to minimize it. But good morning to you, brothers. Man, I appreciate the opportunity once again to get some of this, get my iron sharpened by y'all iron. I caught the tail end of what you're saying, Mr. Marville. Accountability is big. Accountability, that in outside of the situation, we need accountability on all fronts at all times. because the only way we're going to get out this rut is to start, you know, holding ourselves accountable. Have we gotten, and I just got a quick question because I'm a little bit late to the show. Have we gotten anywhere from last conversation, which was we're going to set up a we're considering, you know, having a meeting and having a gentleman come and present his side. Has anything changed from that?
No, nothing has changed from that. Let me get back to that right after these messages. It is Wise Words with One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. The call-in number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. Tell a friend, tell Big Mama, tell Uncle Leroy, tell Cousin Craig we on today, and they can be on too if they call in. Hey, it is the Wise Words of One Gone Show, and we're going to commercial.
Peace and blessings, King. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents
the Men's Healing Circle.
Brothers healing together.
Brothers healing together.
Join us every Wednesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, inside the Obama Room. The Men's Healing Circle is a place where men uplift, encourage, and inspire each other to be better through personal testimony, dialogue, self-reflection, self-improvement, and positive affirmation. Again, that's 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, in the Obama Room. Come out and pledge to greatness with your fellow brother.
Attention sack artists, R&B, jazz, hip-hop and comedy, spoken word as well. Send your MP3 tracks to DJ1Gone@yahoo.com to be heard in over 50 states. Also, call the show at 347-205-9722. And don't forget to tell your friends to log on to blogtalkradio.com and look for the Wise Words with One Gone show every Monday through Saturday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And don't forget to check the Sunday Gospel Show from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Tell everybody about the Wise Words with One Gone Show.
Hey, so we come on from 9 to 11. If you know me, you know I had two shows a day. One would be at 9 to 11, and the other would be 8 to 10, right? These old commercials, I'm trying to get them out of here. I'm trying to clear all the songs out. And I got 5,000 songs, y'all. So it's taking a while to get them out. And then I'm going to the studio, Brother Wren. We're going to be working on some more recordings. And so peace and blessing to y'all. We on every day except Saturdays and Sundays. Monday through Friday, we're right here from 9 to 11 on the Wise Words with One Gone Show, bringing solutions to our community, right? And so I had an old G say, well, brother, we don't have communities no more. We just got hoods. Communities have economic base. And I said, oh, G, you come deep and you cut deep too. Without further ado, here's our host, Mr. Marvell. Marvell?
Wow, sheesh. Man, we don't have communities, we have hoods because there's no economic base. Ain't that something? I mean, and I can't think of anything more truer to be stated about the state of affairs that we're experiencing right now, is that we have other cultures who are providing us with our food, with our cosmetics, with all our commodities. And I was talking to a brother yesterday, Thurman, and he named off about 7 soul food restaurants, but they're not local. They're like, he was telling me, like, okay, well, you got to go out here to get to this one. I'm saying, man, I got to drive all the way. I got to drive 13 miles to get to a soul food restaurant, for real. But the truth is, yeah, I didn't even know it was 7 in the city because we don't have that type of representation. The only place that you can see a black-centered offering of goods and services is the Florin Square Market, 24th and Florin Road. That's the only place I know in the city. Now, if anybody know already else, anywhere else, hit me to it so I can patronize them as well. And then yesterday we had issue brought to the table about the fact that even though we have that center, the prices are a little more lofty there than they are elsewhere, so it kind of detracts people from going there because it's a price-conscious thing. I suggested, and I talked to somebody yesterday, that if we can get, when we form our committees, we can go to these vendors, black business owners and distributors, and share with them that we understand why their overhead is higher, their insurance is higher, they don't have collective buying power when they buy their goods, and you know they're trying to make a profit, so their prices are a little higher. However, if we can appeal to them to say, look, okay, y'all, dig, I know our price is a little higher, but work with us so that we can increase our buying power, and then we will compliment you. Our prices won't go up. Our prices will come down when we start being able to have that purchasing power and have that flow that allows us to take care of our families as well as be able to offer you the type of pricing that you're used to. So that's kind of like how we're working together to look at solutions to these challenges. That's one of the methods that we decided we want to employ. That makes sense?
Yes. And to me it does.
Yeah, I mean, we have to be creative within our realm. Within our realm and culture, we have to recognize, I keep saying have to, it's suggestible that we recognize some of the things that exist and put a definition on them. Not just what, but why. Because we say, man, I ain't going in there, man. I paid $1 something for a can of pop, $1 something. Mm. Well, if we have an understanding that, okay, when I go in there, I'm going in there anticipating that I'm going to have to pay a little more for the product. However, to endorse and to support this business will be a benefit to me down the road because they're going to have more purchasing power. They're going to have more solidity in their ability to carry their message as a business, and they're going to be able to reduce the prices. And that's the agreement that we can get with them. It's like, look, okay, what you need, 90 days? You need 90 days of support, and then you can do that. Because if we'll be monitoring, if they don't, then we're like, okay, Jack, we'll see what you're up to. So we ain't swinging your way no more until you take care of what you said you're going to do. Accountability once again.
In that aspect of accountability, the main thrust is men, fathers, the, quote, breadwinner, bringing home the bacon. That used to be, and I say used to be our calling card. Black men and men of color, their calling card used to be able to take their hand knowledge and work and go to work. We don't have that skill set any longer. What we have, as we've all said many, many times, and including this past week, a consumer-based thought process. It is not a productive-based thought process. There are a few black men in this area who have stepped out and have opened their businesses and have become accountable, and they exist today. It's surprising that Brother Marvell says that he was informed about 7, because I'll just name this one and give it some shout-out. When I found out that Stagecoach, which is over here on Florence, which is a restaurant, black owned and operated, was one of only 3. And the other 2 are owned by different cultures. But the Stagecoach name is out there. I immediately asked the manager, this is the only one? And she said, yes, this is the only one. So accountability. We have been unable to see our brethren in a clear light to where we can, quote, number one, patronize and hold that individual accountable for their actions and for their deeds and for their service. while listening to you, the one thing that kept ringing through my head is simply the other cultures who do depend on each other, who do patronize each other exclusively. And the proof of that is in the houses that they're able to buy, the, quote, communities that they're able to construct. And yet here we are, not being able, quote, unquote, to be accountable in that respect. It goes back to being honest with oneself. If one is honest with themselves, then they're capable of being able to take the corrective steps to make positive change.
Sir. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, you there?
Yeah, it's Brother McDaniel, sir. So going back to what you said about, you know, talking to the vendors and encouraging them to, you know, implement a plan that allows, the, you know, we'll invest in you a little higher rate now for you to, you know, stay loyal to us and back down on those prices at a later date. I love that idea, but also we got to condition and hold ourselves accountable to supporting our folks, because we'll find a few too many reasons, you know, not to support them. And if you don't mind, I'd like to give you an example of I went to a party of some non-black folks. They were like Middle Eastern, and I was doing security there, and it was a wedding party, and they were just, you know, the money, the envelopes, the cash, they were throwing so much money at the couple. I mean, if I had to guess, you know, $50,000 to $100,000 cash money was given to them. Now, of course, they're financially positioned to do that, but percentage-wise or proportionately speaking, we got to be willing to move our money towards each other the same way without necessarily looking for the payback, knowing that long-term we're buying into our community.
On that scale, listen, McDaniel. Go ahead. No, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, sir. That was it, sir. That was him.
Okay, so listen. When we have our healing circle, oftentimes we have guys who come in and they have situations where they pour out that, you know, things are not going well. Either they just fresh out of lockdown, or they had a mishap of some sort of challenges that they are struggling with. And but at the end of our session, we pool money to assist them. And
yes, sir.
That's the scale that I think that you are alluding to, is that when we see and hear that there's a concern, that we pour into it collectively, because, see, again, what we don't practice is what's called collective economics, right? That's like a hard sell to get us to practice collective economics. So if you got 30 guys and all 30, you know, some might do 20, some might do 5, but if the average is $10 per guy, 30 guys pouring into a situation, then the kid, the young man, or the person in check with the challenge walks away with $300. And let me give an example. We had a guy that came out of penitentiary, young guy, came in, and he poured himself out, and he allowed himself to be vulnerable, and we heard his concerns, and we put money in his hand. When he came back the next week, he said, I took that money, and I got some help. He said, I got me a car, and he said, I drove my car to this meeting today. So that's what we're talking about when we say pouring in to get a result, right? It ain't going to always be the desired result, but we would do well to give that opportunity for one to demonstrate what they will do if we pour our support into them. Is that anywhere near what you were talking about?
Yes, sir. That's absolutely what I was talking about. And even on a wider scale, I actually took part in that before, I've been on the receiving end of it as a young man, you know, where I went up to some elders at a park, McClatchy Park to be specific, and I was selling candy, and they told me, they gave me double what the candy was worth and said, pay for the candy with that and keep this to invest in yourself. And I thought that was awesome. I mean,
wow.
It was the craziest thing I ever seen.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So on the that's just something demonstrative on that scale, but on the broader scale, we would do well to recognize that we have the capability of demonstrating, even in support of a business, right? We can be investors of in a business that we, you know, we agree that this business has the vitality or has the type of resource that's going to help our community free ourselves from the grips of other cultures taking advantage of and not pouring back into our community, and we decide, okay, well, let's invest in this business. Like when you called in, Mac, I thought you were the graphic artist, the graphic and the printing guy. There's a guy named Mac down there on Florin Road that has a printing company, right?
Yes, sir.
And
yes, sir.
He does some good work, man. So we would probably do well in our committees, form our committees, and create a consciousness to bolster his business with investment, with an agreement, of course, right? Not just for a cause, not just because, but
yes, sir.
Finding people like this and blowing them up. With the agreement that once done, these are the things we have expectations we would like for you to meet for our community, right? We would do well to do that because collective economics is something that's kind of, it's collective economics and advertisement and marketing are two things that we watch other people do and we're susceptible to, but we don't practice. We don't practice collectiveness in our money, and we watch other people market to us. But we don't learn how to market to them.
I live close to a Vietnamese church. And given that we've been talking about certain aspects, this was touched on Thanksgiving. And I'm going to say it again. Throughout the Thanksgiving concept, I did not hear here in the Sacramento area one voice being uttered by the church to come feed the hungry. In San Francisco, that was a consistent. Every year that there was a holiday or Thanksgiving or something, the church would be there to feed people who were down, didn't have the wherewithal to do that. Accountability. In this discussion of accountability, where are church leaders? And I'm not blaspheming. I'm merely asking a question. On issues such as this, if you know our history taught us from the church because we had people who held themselves accountable and held us accountable that were in the church at that time. That does not exist now, that concept of accountability. So when we look at it face front, when we look at accountability, who are we talking about to be accountable? Accountable to who? Accountable to ourselves or accountable to the broader community? I think the broader community is the one that where accountability serves. We're having trouble finding individuals who want to be held accountable. And so it behooves us in the committees to strike forward. I constantly make the comment that we just really need to step forward. That's it. Accountability starts with us.
Individually.
Well, did anybody hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I heard you. This is Brother McDaniel again. Introducing myself, my name is Finest McDaniel. I'm the owner of Action Max Mobile Auto Repair, but I also deal with, you know, Mac on the graphic printing. We share the name, so we definitely got a little bond there going. I'm going back to Mr. Marvell, what he was saying. I definitely know that there's a big value in your community or your circle of elders or where the money is coming in and loading you up with work. I've been the benefactor of that through a few gentlemen. I know Ken Poole being one of them and a few other guys who really, really throw me business. So I absolutely have an obligation for when my business grows some more and I have a nephew, somebody has a nephew, a son, a grandson that needs a job for me to furnish that, you know, to reinvest the money that was invested in me to keep the cycle going. So sorry to go out a little bit further back than we were at, but I just wanted to get in there while I could.
Brother Mac, I would venture to say that if some sort of, quote, apprenticeship can be established with you or with the folks like you, then that will also be a big benefit in moving forward. But again, it takes being able to be accountable. And a lot of young men don't have that way of thinking. That's because, again, what we were taught and what they're being taught obviously is two different things. And again, it just takes seniors like us to step forward and show that accountability is something valuable and useful. It is also profitable. When you become accountable, you become a lot more profitable with your movement than you do if you're not. You become a lot more when you're honest than you do if you're trying to tell a lie or trying to, quote, get over, as we are so accustomed to. We are so accustomed to getting over instead of doing it the right way and straight. And I think if we can get away from that, which we can, if we can get away from that type of thinking, that type of language, that type of thought pattern, we'll serve our community a lot better. A lot better positive things can take place. But it starts with us men. It doesn't start with the woman. It doesn't start with the kids. It really doesn't start with the church. It starts with us men. We're the ones that need to be forefront. We're the ones that need to be out front. Yeah.
And so, Brother Mac, when you get off of talking, mute yourself, because we're hearing everything that you got going on. And I know you're over there working on my machine, right? But we can hear everything you're doing, so mute yourself. Brother Marvell? Brother Marvell? Brother Mark?
Can you hear me,
hello?
Tim?
Okay, I can't hear nobody.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Okay. I just want to make sure everybody's still on. Uncle Jimmy, what did you say about your show? This is my mama's brother.
Oh.
This is my oldest uncle. That's a lot. No, my Uncle Nathaniel is the
there
oldest.
There you go.
That's my mama's brother. And Uncle Jimmy?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just checking in with you. What you think about the way this thing going here?
Hey, I want to be a part of the growth, for sure.
That is. Count me in.
Because
okay.
There's a lot to be gone over and a lot to be done, and we done waited too long. Anyway, it's time to go. It's time to go. It's time to make the move. Let's go. So I got to run now, so I will be with you tomorrow, nephew. And thank you all, you other gentlemen. Be blessed. Hey, we can make this work. We just got to, like you said, we have to be accountable, and we got to put our best foot forward and keep it out there. So thank you, and I'll be back with you tomorrow, okay?
All right, we'll be on Monday through Friday, Monday through Friday. But yeah, we'll see you on Monday. We love you, and talk to
this
you soon.
Friday, huh? That's what happens when you retire. You forget about stuff. Talk to you later.
Be blessed.
One of the biggest areas that we fall short in accountability is relationships. Since we have been talking about various aspects around it, for us being relationship is one of the most important factors that we have. And I do mean a relationship with obviously a woman. Basically, men have not kept up their part of the bargain. Yes, we've had a lot of obstacles to keep up that end of the bargain. I grew up as a first and 15th child. And if you know anything about California, California had a concept of first and 15th, which means welfare. I grew up under that umbrella, that oak, that yoke. As soon as I had an opportunity, I got away from it because I got, as a kid, I began to understand that my mother was limited. Our resources were limited. I've watched in San Francisco, and I've only been here since February, but I've watched the populations. We just don't believe in ourselves. We have a lot of money in our community. But we will run to Macy's. We'll run to every store that has very few, if not, and let go of those cash dollars instead of patronizing our own when it came to food. Now, I was surprised and shocked that Asians cooking black food here in Sacramento, over at Elk Grove. I was shocked. And it tasted good. And there was no black person or brown person in the kitchen, all Asian. And I said to myself, and I've only been here since February, I said to myself, wait a minute. How did this happen when there are thousands of individuals in this area that know how to that can cook? But will anybody step forward? Will anybody go get a storefront? And what did you say about 7 restaurants that cook black food 13 miles away? Well, hell, right around the corner, there are 2 restaurants up here where I live at, across from Stockton, that serve black food. And they're both Asian, operated and owned, and cooked. I'm not shocked now because I understand the economic base of that community, of the community. We don't spend our money with each other. And that's one of the biggest problems, one of the major biggest problems that we have. We will go spend money elsewhere, but not with each other.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now? Okay.
I hear you.
You know, I had mine on mute because I had airplanes going on around me. I've observed one of the components that's a challenge for us is vision. Now, everything that we talked about that we got endorsements for by McDaniel and by everyone else who was in spoke out on it is that we could see ourselves investing in certain things. We could see ourselves talking to vendors about the potential for them to increase their buying power, and we'll bear with them until they do that. We'll pay the price so that they can excel. What's in that is the vision that we have because of we'll get an agreement with them that they will do what they say they're going to do. That creates the vision. Okay, so we're investing now, and then later on we're going to experience the result of the vision. And that's a seed that I think we are doing well to plant right now is that we can look forward to the advancements and the benefits if we do something now. Because I've noticed that our people live in the now, you know, kind of overwhelmingly. You know, I remember somebody asked a kid, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And the kid looked at him like, where I see myself in 5 years? I can't tell you where I'm going to be next week. Mentally and emotionally and spiritually, I can't even say. Because the pull and tug make it so that I have to change my direction, you know, at the drop of a hat. So why would I be thinking about 5 years from now? And that's the kind of responses that tell me that we have to plant the seed that gradually we'll be able to see further down the road. Gradually, we'll be able to have a bigger picture about what we look like in the future if we start doing these exercises now and showing what vision looks like and how planning and having a goal that's not immediate, look what that looks like. So I say that we're doing a good job of creating the potential for a vision to be a part of our structure.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And as far as, like, the apprenticeship program that you mentioned earlier, I'm definitely in the process of working on that because there's a dual benefit. You know, of course, I get some labor out the deal, but there's a benefit you get when you teach somebody how to be acquire a skill that you acquired without having to, pardon the pun, but kiss them folks, hey, you know, because, like, you know, 25 years ago when I was trying to bust into the field, you know, I had to play the game. I had to deal with a lot of things that compromised or made me feel compromised from who I am. So if I can get some young brothers, some young kids, some young brothers, and not have to make them do the dog and pony dance in order to learn this craft that I had to do, man, I'm more than willing to do it. I'm already doing it, but the but is a lot of young men don't like getting dirty. They like the money, but they don't like getting dirty, which is kind of a sidebar to the point, but I'm definitely, you know, unofficially, you know, apprenticing. You know, I got two young men who I'm unofficially, you know, showing them the way.
That's excellent. I mean, when you introduce it to them, did they know that their hands are gonna get dirty?
Well, okay, so here's the deal. I'll say probably not because they were looking at their phone for the most part. But what happens is they see the money. They see the money. So the money's what draws them in, and I use that for a reason. You know, they gotta see the goal, the end game. So they see the. You know, if you can make, you know, $100 a day, $200 a day, $300 a day and up, but they don't want to get through them bushes, or should I say get through them engines and transmissions and oil changes to get the money. They love the money and hate the effort that it takes to get it. The two men I'm working with. Let me not point so broadly. The two young men I'm working with love the money, hate the struggle.
That's not an unusual statement to hear. That because it's not a touch tone scroll process, right? Because they're used to the immediacy of everything with this technology, and anything that requires the labor, you know, it's hard to get a kid to clean up his room nowadays. So when you're talking about working and getting a little murky, a little dirty to come up, yeah, I can see that being a hard sell. However, I'm still optimistic that if the law of attraction sets in, then they will do, if they feel that they should be in that field, not just for making money, but they feel that this is something that they can contribute to our society and contribute to their livelihood, I think they'll weather those challenges. and meet the responsibility through gravity of attraction, right? Because a lot of times we talk with our kids that we work with in this after school program, and we ask them the question, if you could get paid to do what you like to do, can you envision a better life? And they say no. Somebody paying you to do something you like to do. So that apprenticeship program you have, hopefully you'll attract kids who will recognize that this is something that they want to do, and that'll make it much easier. But even if not, they'll get the experience of knowing that you're going to have to do something to generate the things that you think you want. And because your mama and your daddy are supposed to provide you what you need, but everything that you want, you have to contribute to its existence. And that's what's being missing now. A lot of parents are doting over the children and giving them not just what they need, but the things that they want without any, once again, accountability. So accountability just is a broad stroke for what our community may be lacking and what we're inserting as an idea and a vision for.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, you know, I'm grateful for the young men who I work with. They're grateful for me. You know, great, great young men, but there's a lot I'm fighting with them, with imaging and all of that. And I promise if I get the right popular kid, you know, who has a heck of a TikTok following and a YouTube channel, but he finds value in my process as far as, you know, working on these cars, going all that, next thing you know, we'll have a trend. We'll have, you know, 50 kids ready to go, you know. And unfortunately, it's going to take something like that. You know, you're going to have to see, man, I came to work. I made $150, 4 hours work, you know, do the math, $37.50 an hour, and now I'm free for the rest of my day because, you know, I put that effort in early. But let them see that. Man, not kids line up at my door, you know, but they have to want to get dirty. They have to, like you said, I have to make them aware you're going to get dirty. They have to want to get dirty. They have to see the money through the dirt. You know, see that money through that dirt.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
What say you, Mark? Was that Mark that came in?
I'm in total agreement. I'm in total agreement. We as a people, it's time for us to do some things collectively. And what I mean by collectively, we got to build our own commerce. Instead of us branching off, selling separately, competing against one another, we need to pool our resources together and capitalize on the whole thing. Because like I say, what we create, everyone wants. But we make it hard on ourselves by trying to compete against one another. And we only cover just a small market, whereas they do things on a grand scale, and they cover the whole market. So that's what we got to do. We got to wake up. Because, like I say, greed sets in on one man. But when we come collectively together, it's no longer greed. We're starting to commercialize this thing. Now we're thinking. Now we're doing what he's doing. And once we do it, he can't compete. So, like I say, we need to rethink and get back to basics.
It's almost controversial to mention because I haven't heard very much more about it. The reparations movement. It's supposed to be February, where legislation is really going to be considered and possibly passed, but I haven't heard anything about it. And I've been trying to link with organizations who talked about it and advocated for it. They have 1,100-page document that substantiates it, but I haven't heard in the atmosphere to keep the momentum going. And I've even attempted to link with someone or to find out what it would be necessary for me to participate in getting this concept marketed, because that's a toehold that we could operate from. And it's eerie to me that we're not hearing about.
So did you contact any of the people that I hooked you up with? I give you the website.
Is it a new web? Wait a minute. Now, you gave me one, and I forgot the name of it. It's the reason why I forgot, because I've been contacting the brother, and he's been putting me on the overlay as far as getting back with me. I'll get back with you. So I don't know if that's the same organization. Name the organization, and I'll tell you.
I don't have it at hand right now. What I'll do is
I'll look up some more. We look at your.
I have a few more contacts I'll put you in touch with.
Right on. Because see, I was heading on with that because it's sensible. It's sensible that if there's any allotment awarded to descendants of slaves, that we have a format and an investment plan for them to pour in a small portion in the goal of creating an industry for something that we can control, something that we manufacture, something that we distribute, so that we can get a little more respect in the commerce world and not be the number one consumer, but be also considered a distributor in this country. But
right.
I'm going to do it again, Mark. I'm going to keep on with it. I just, you know, it's kind of mystical to me why I don't hear anybody talking about reparations now.
Well, what we have to be mindful of, before we heard of reparations, we wasn't doing the right thing. So we can't just wait on reparations. We got to do the right thing ourselves. And like I said, we step out and begin to do things ourselves, we can build a reparations for ourselves. See, we got to repair ourselves before anybody else repair us, because the things that they do to us is not necessarily for us. It's going to hinder us in the long run. You have to be mindful. He's very cunning, very, very cunning.
Mm.
So they have thought
about that
thoroughly before they even put it on the table. So it's a trick bag somewhere down the line.
Right. Well, you can't.
You gotta be
wearing the bag. You can't hide the pee on me because I know where it's at. Right. So that's what we can do with the rest of our communities is tell them where the pee at. You know, when we see where it's at, just tell them, the pee ain't there, and the pee ain't there. It's not under either one of those three shells. It is not there.
Right.
So, I can understand your apprehension. However, if there's an allotment that can be anticipated, I think there should be a well-mapped-out plan for an appealing investment for everyone qualified. We should have that in place in the event that occurs, so that we can create an industry that we control. And that's the premise for overall. Now, there's a lot of other things that may or may not happen, but that's the one thing that we can be responsible for, and that's what I'm pushing for, is to make sure that there's a model in place for them to say, okay, well, I got this, and how much you say? Oh, okay, I could do that, and everybody do it, and we have, you know, all of the research and all of the details necessary to put that in motion and create an industry for ourselves through collective economics. But right now, that's just me, or maybe a few of us. So until we demonstrate something like that or get something in order that looks more in a hard copy or a presentation, it's just a concept. But I think that it has worthwhile energy to invest in, right? It's worth invest the energy to see something like that develop. So I'm willing to do what you give me that information, and I'll check it out.
All right, I will, but like I was saying before, we can start something without that. Because if we get something started, put something in place, people will be more apt to donate to it. You understand what I'm saying? Because it'll be something in place. They're not going to just come right away and say, oh, well, they just started this thing. But if we get something drawn up and established where we can have a community pot, you know, these things, it'll happen there. Because I can see it happening.
Yeah.
There are brothers and sisters that want to come together. But they've all waited for someone else to lead out. So we have to take that initiative and be that leader. And you have to excuse me, brother. I'm trying to find this spot. Brother Troy is graduating today from something, and I was trying to attend it, you know, just to show the brother some support.
Yeah,
but,
I
like
saw
I
that
say, it's going to happen, my brother. And I'm going to get some information for you as soon as I can.
Right on. I appreciate that, man. And anybody else who has any information on the status of the reparation movement, if you could share that, it would be much appreciated, because I'm scratching my head wondering how come this is not a household name, a household topic, right? Because it has been well founded and well presented that it should happen. And in all practicality, it's going to happen. But who's prepared for it? And who's pushing to make sure that there are no loopholes, no windows for somebody to use to minimize, you know, the benefit? I'm just kind of confused. So, but I'm going to stay with it. Because it's one of my visions, it's part of my vision for our ability to establish ourselves as an entity that distributes in this country. Because that's one of the things that we fall short in, is distribution. We're not known for any distribution. So therefore, the only thing we do in commerce is we are the consumer base. And everybody targets us. So, with that said, I'd like for anybody to have any information that they can share on that, and then I'll take it to the next level as far as I can go, and then I'll confer with the other professionals to see where we need to go from there. But right now, it's like a non-starter to me. It's I don't hear anything. I don't see anything. So in short, if you don't hear it, if you don't see it, it really doesn't exist. And I'd hate to think that that's the truth. So we got 20 minutes, about 20 minutes left. And for those who are still here, do you have any concerns that have not been mentioned in this broadcast that you'd like to bring to the table? Because all concerns are valid. And don't think that whatever you're sharing is not pertinent, because we have challenges that are visible and invisible, spiritual, emotional, and bring them to the floor, and you'll see how they correlate with some other existing challenge. Like, for instance, we talked about anger last week and this week as well. Well, I failed to mention that that's one of the topics that that got a lot of response, was the fact that anger is that energy that is so easily incited in us. And once it's in motion, sometimes it leads to a form of insanity where you just stop thinking completely. And so we're urging that we recognize that that is an energy that is easily summoned in our culture, and that we practice things that when we feel it coming, to ebb it or control it so that it won't get to the point to where we're acting out in insanity. Like breathing, counting, or Some people say walk away. There are other methods that you can apply to make sure that you don't allow your anger, because anger is here for us. I see no reason to doubt that we all have a reason to be angry, and all we really need is a trigger be unleashed as a rule. It's just that when we unleash it, it's been unleashed to in our communities, to our people, the low-hanging fruit, and that's the unfortunate part about it. But the fortunate part about anger that we have is that if we learn how to manage it, then we can control it, and then we master, like we do everything else. We master our ability to move away from anger and move toward excellence. And anger is just something that you have to deal with on the way to your excellence, with vision and with the idea that prosperity is ours. We deserve it, and we have the ability to get it. We just have to work through those challenges that curtail us from being able to keep our vision clear. So I'm wondering if I'm still, am I still on the air?
Yes, sir, you are. Yes, sir, you are.
Because I had muted myself before. I was just talking.
Let me weigh in on the anger. So anger is like pain, right? It's telling you something is wrong. So you got the treatment of the anger, right? And then you got a correction or the avoidance of it, you know, the preventative portion. So a lot of our anger comes from, you know, it's situational. Our woman is, our job is, you know, job ain't treating us right. Woman ain't treating us right. Kids are acting up. My football team lost, so on and so forth. So some things you can fix out of it, and other things you just have to treat like your football team losing, you can't fix that. You just have to deal with it. But your job mistreating you, that can be fixed. Now, are you going to be willing to do what it takes to fix it? So what ends up happening is, man, by the time you look at you become aware of the situation, so you're already disappointed or angry, and then you see somebody in a similar situation as you getting treated differently, it becomes a whole nother level of anger, because then you see the issue there, which is you're probably not welcome to where you're at, or you're probably, you know, you're being mistreated purposely. So one thing we got to do is try to avoid those, but then we also have to, you know, process the anger differently. You got to acquire more resources. You got to get things that make us, that offset that anger with the satisfaction. You know, home ownership. You know, the car we wanted in high school. Kids in college doing well. Grandkids doing well. You got to acquire the things that balance you out. Somebody said something? So, back to what I was saying. We got to balance it out with the good. And, you know, that's a matter of resources. That's a matter of, you know, like you mentioned earlier, us being repaired. You know, reparations is gonna soothe a lot of the heat. It's going to bring down the anger a few notches. You know, at least in our community now, we might, you know, catch anger from other communities. But as far as we go, that reparation is going to help us, you know, deal with our anger. It's going to help us deal with our dissatisfaction. It's going to help us deal with difficult people. You know, I'm going to go home to my property out here and worry about y'all later. You know, but like I said, one of them is the preventative, and the other is the treatment of it. So we need both. We need both the you know, we need to get our resources up. You know, and even if one man's resources are where he wants them to be, we're a community. We're not one man. So as a community, our anger will go down as our resources go up, and that I can guarantee.
I agree with you, Brother Finest. You know, like I say, there's a lot, we have to put a lot of thought into that, though. Because like I said, we have to understand who's making the offer to give this to us and what they've represented ever since we've been born, and what they represented before we were born. See, everything that they gave us was for a purpose and a reason to keep us, to get us deeper into this web of deceit that they got us in already. You have to beware of these stuff. Everything you see on TV can resort back to them and their lifestyle and their treachery. They're deceiving, they're cunning, they're wicked. And they use their own devices in their favor. And money is one of their strong devices. It's something they created, and it's something that they use in their favor. And they give us some, and we think that we're getting over, but we're not, because you're never going to get enough of it. The more they give you, the higher they raise stuff. They make stuff less reachable for you. You know, so, I mean, it's a sticky situation. If we don't come together as a whole and start to build for ourselves and do for ourselves as we did in the beginning, which is what attracted them to us in the first place, we're never going to be successful. You cannot be successful playing their game. They make the rules as they go. I digress.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, I totally agree. And that's why I said reparations, but I also said, you know, repaired. Because I identified about 5 or 6 different issues that need some repairing, as far as I try to say institutions that need some repairing. So my biggest, you know, perpetrator of disrepair on our community, I'll say, is the medical field. You know, the hospital's been doing stuff to us, and like most of their medical research is for 180-pound white male, 150-pound white female. So a lot of the medicines and therapy they have is the research is based on them. So it's not even based on a 5'11 black male, 220. You know, we're totally more muscle mass and all of that. Another institution I see a problem with. I'm descending from the greatest to the least. So the next one is the banking system, right? Which, okay, now we're talking to, you know, the finances, and that's a big portion of it. But next to banking is the education. You know, education system is, you know, we don't need to relive what we know, but we know our kids don't get taught as well, you know, and these systems, as a matter of fact, they teach us very well how to just self-destruct. And then the fourth one that I identify is the justice system. A lot of people might put it up higher than that, but I believe that if those other three institutions ahead of the justice system is corrected, justice system ain't going to have nearly the effect it has on us. So when I talk about, you know, our repair, there's a fifth, then there's more than that. But when I talk about our repair, I'm not just mentioning the money, because, yes, the money, it plays a bad game on us. It plays a very bad game on us. They'll inflate prices on all our necessities and drain us of our money in some respect due to our lack of, you know, financial awareness and how money works. So I agree.
Right.
Yeah, money, we got to be careful. If we just say our repair is exclusive or mainly about the money. No, it's multifaceted. I mean, I'm work on his hospital system, work on his education system, work on the banking itself, you know, work on the justice system. And keeping in mind, as for our community, I have to remember, they didn't break us in one generation. They broke us over centuries.
Right.
So they can't fix it. It's not going to be a 6-month process. It's going to be a very long process. Well, I believe we need to go in a whole different tax bracket. We need to have money streaming in for 200-300 years to offset the inflation that's going to come if we get a whole big piece of money, you know, in a 5-year or a 5-month or a 5-day repair. You know, we definitely got to have some tax benefits. We got to have banking benefits that are exclusive to, you know, descendants of slaves. You know, we got to have hospitals who are ran by and the board of decision makers are all descendants of slaves. you know, who can really weigh into these processes and make the decisions for our community. And then we have to give it another 100 years for it to really work. Because if we
right.
say, okay, you repaired, we gave you 5 months of money, and look what you've done, then
right.
you burned down the house in 5 minutes, but the house took 2 months to build.
Right.
So
I totally agree. Oh, go ahead. I totally agree with you. We're running short on time here, and I just wanted to say something because you missed a few episodes.
Yes, sir.
That I've been saying we have to get back to basics. See, it's not hard to start over from scratch. It's just the disgruntling part. We don't want to get out of our comfort zone. See, we got too attached to the stuff that he's created for us to be attached to. We have to get back to basics. See, because we had all of these things for ourselves before somebody had a dream. And that dream tore us apart. We went in all kind of directions after that dream. So we have to get back to basics and rebuild. And it's going to take a while, but it's not just for us. It's for our future. It's for our kids' kids, our grandkids' kids.
Yes, sir.
That requires vision. That requires a lot of vision, and that's what we're planting the seed for, to have the vision. Because the institutional racism that McDaniels described, and the subterfuge and the diversion that Mark described, with all the touchstone creature comforts that stimulate the part of the brain of the pleasure part of the brain, is kind of overtaking our ability to stop and focus and to stop and look forward to what it is that we can experience. The reparations word is something that they use, but the repair is post-allotment. When they allot us anything, we can repair ourselves, and we're not asking the reparations, even though we have apprehensions about it. Reparations is not something we're asking for. Reparations is something we deserve. So we're just merely asking them to give us what we deserve. And once you do we'll repair ourselves. We will repair ourselves.
Well, Brother Marvell, here's the thing. They already did a trial run when they gave that PPL, when they gave all that money out. You see what they did with it. So they know what's going to happen. See, that's what I'm saying.
So
they know money. See, money to a fool is like sending a mule to school. You can't teach him nothing.
Right. So let's not be foolish. So so we have an opportunity to curtail the foolishness by being prepared and having an offering of something sensible for there to be invested in. That's the job that I see that we have at this point. Because, again, it's not like we're asking for welfare. It's not like we're asking for PPED or nothing like that. We're just merely saying that at this particular time, it is upon you, this government, to recognize that we should be compensated for our contribution to this country. Just do that, and we'll do the rest.
Yes, sir. Brother Mark, if you don't mind, let me stand on your shoulders on that one. With that PPP loan, what else I've seen, which I think you can attest to, is even though they gave us a portion, they gave other groups, other people of color, you know, larger proportions. And then it can all be under the umbrella that, well, heck, that was part of your reparation there. But when you look at the money, proportionally speaking, we might have seen, you know, we didn't see 12%. We didn't see 12% of the PPP money that went out in the country. We seen about 2% of it.
No.
So I say that to say, right, yes, that was a test. That was absolute. Like, these folks, they're like math scientists. They always test. They tested us with that guy who had a dream. You know, they tested us to play with our psyche. So I totally agree with you that money money to a fool it was aiding your self-destruction. But that being said, there's plenty of people who are knowledgeable with money in our community. The way I see it,
yeah.
Give me my thing, and I'll fix self. You know, I
right.
understand there's going
to
be
we got to learn to invest in one another.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
We got to learn to invest in one another.
Go ahead. Well, let me close.
Go ahead.
We didn't get broken. We didn't get see, and we got to remember, we'll never see our repair. My grandkids, I'm 42. My grandkids, 80 years from now, will see the repair. We'll never see
right.
it. But we have to, it's like planting a tree. We got to plant this tree even if it don't give us shade. So we're going to see the bad part of the reparations. We're going to see the things that everybody's talking about. But over time, we're going to get out of that struggle mode, out of that survival mode, and into thriving mode. And we're already physically superior, so you know what that's going to mean. Gentlemen, I appreciate the voice. I'm from here on out, I'm going to be quiet and listen out. I appreciate you, gentlemen.
Oh, you gave a great input.
Right on.
You was a big help.
Okay, so the blueprint and the groundwork for that 80-year span begins here. That's the premise that we're operating under, is that we're going to create a model that's easy to follow and easy to keep the vision alive about what's going to transpire from decade to decade, but we have to have a graph. And so we have to have a hard copy of the overview of the plan first, and that's what we're doing now. We're about to lose be removed from our opportunity to express in about 2 minutes, Mark, so you want to close out right
there? Right, right. Yeah, because I was just going to say, let's save this and build off of this for next week. But this is a very good discussion that's needed.
Absolutely, absolutely. I agree
back
with
you.
Joe, you still here? Joe. Okay, so now we're on the verge
Joe.
Of... go ahead. Who is that, Joe?
No, it's Mark.
Okay, so... All right, so we're on the verge of closing out. Just want to let it be known that those listeners who tuned in, we appreciate your audience. We appreciate your input. Whenever you feel comfortable to chime in, please do. But in the meantime, if you are willing to share any contact information so that we can link you with the type of approaches that we have as far as committees, and far as planning, and far as structuring some sort of approach to this, please share what's necessary so we can contact you. And Tim, I'm glad that you let the format go free for this whole duration. We only have one commercial, so now we're at a point where by next week we'll be getting better and closer to the professionalism that's going to attract a larger audience, and we can get this message out to as many people who are willing to receive it. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
I see.
And we're looking forward to continuing this dialogue. Have a good day.
Have a blessed weekend.
Hold it. What I say is that every man that was on here should share with their immediate family and friends and ask them to do so. That's how you build this up. You don't wait for them to come. You got to send for them. I'm going to talk to you more later. I'm one gone, and we out of here. Peace.
Right on.
Y'all gone.